Father, thank you again for this day. Lord, would you work and move through Daniel right now? Use his words, allow his words to be your words. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this awesome passage that you've given us in your word in 1 John. Lord, I pray that it would be clear and evident for each of us who you are and what you've done. Thank you that you have loved us with a love that we cannot fully understand, cannot fully comprehend, but it's a love that we're so grateful for. Allow us to show that love to those around us and show that love to you as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning. As previously mentioned, I am Daniel, and I am really excited about this opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. We will be taking a look at 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 12. Again, 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 12. While you're turning there, I want you to think about this question. What is love? As people, we talk a lot about love. I love that book. I love this song. I love ice cream. I love my friend. I love my family. I love my wife, and so on and so on. All of those words use love. But when you say love, the word, do you really mean the same thing for ice cream as you do for your wife and your family? I would hope not. In 1 John 4, 7 through 12, it's going to teach us what love really is. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. When studying the Bible, I always find it helpful to look at a few things. First, if there's any unfamiliar words or words that I just don't use very often, like propitiation, it doesn't come up in conversation very often. So I want to look it up to make sure that I know what it means and to fully grasp exactly what Jesus did for us. Another thing I look for is if there are words that are repeated. And in this passage, the base word for love is repeated 15 times in 6 verses. It means it's important. It is what it's all about. In Greek, there are actually several different words for love. And honestly, I wish the English would steal a few of them because I don't want to use I love ice cream and I love my wife as the same word. They have philo, which is brotherly love. That's like that friend who is so close. They're a brother. They're family. They have stroge, which is the love of a family. And you know what that is, how much you love your sons, your daughters, your mother, your father, those who are your family. There's also eros, which is that romantic love. And also the one we're going to talk about today, agape, unconditional love. There's no restrictions, no limits on how deeply one cares, one feels, one adores, what one wants, what's best for the other. And agape is the only form of love used in this passage. And it is truly the key to understanding it. And a little hint, if you can understand agape, what love is, you'll have a better understanding of who God is. Now, agape is the kind of love that says nothing you do can make me love you more. It's also the kind of love that says, nothing you do can make me love you less. And this is the kind of love that God has. I'm going to reread this passage, adding in the word unconditional wherever agape is used. The one who's unconditionally loved, let us unconditionally love one another. For unconditional love is from God. And whoever unconditionally loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not unconditionally love does not know God, because God is unconditional love. In this unconditional love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is unconditional love. Not that we have unconditionally loved God, but that he has unconditionally loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. One who is unconditionally loved, if God so unconditionally loves us, we ought to unconditionally love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we unconditionally love one another, God abides in us, and his unconditional love is perfected in us. The key to this passage is unconditional love. But how do you describe and define unconditional love? How do you explain to someone what unconditional love is? Webster will say that love is a strong feeling for something. But that's so shallow compared to what is actually going on in this passage. John gives us two very clear indicators about this unconditional love, this agape love. The first one is that God is love. Now, the order of this is very important. It says God is love, not love is God. Instead, it's a part of his nature. It's who God is. He wouldn't fully be God if he did not unconditionally love. But what happens if we flip that? What happens if we get the order wrong? When we put love is God instead of God is love, we will end up pursuing love instead of pursuing God. And when people chase love, they usually go about it in two ways, neither of which is healthy, neither of which is good. The first is they will give to anybody and anything that gives them any form of attention. And it will eventually leave them feeling worthless because they have given themselves away to something meaningless and pointless so many times that they feel themselves that way. And the second is you chase after that feeling of being in love. And those people take from relationship after relationship until there's nothing left. And when the love is gone, they move on to the next. But they will eventually end up alone because they will destroy every relationship in their life. If you pursue anything above God, it will ultimately leave you empty. And that's what the passage is meaning when it says, if anyone does not know this unconditional love, they don't know God. If you're pursuing anything above God, it will fail you. But the next hint, in this, the unconditional love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. We get to experience God's love through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Love came to earth in the form of Jesus, and this is the best example of unconditional love. In Romans 5, verse 8, that God, agape love, unconditionally loved us so much that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you accept this as true and have chosen to follow God, This puts us in favor with God. This is why Jesus is our propitiation. Because propitiation means to gain favor. Jesus takes us from condemned to having favor. And this is a huge deal. Romans 3, 25 and 26. This is talking about Jesus, Paul's writing, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he has passed over former sins. It is to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Again, he takes us from being enemies to being in such favor we are considered sons and daughters of God. And the crazy thing is, this is how much he loves you. This is this unconditional love that even if you don't believe, he still did that for you. He still loves you that much that he was willing to die even if you don't believe. And some, the world doesn't see that for how amazing that really is. One reason I believe is that we don't see sin as bad as sin is truly. People have downplayed it so much, it's almost like it's a mistake. Whoops, I sinned. But sin is a problem. It is a big deal. I want you to think about an earthly king. You know, crown, scepter, makes all the rules. What happens if you go against what an earthly king commands? Nothing good. That's called treason. You're called a traitor. And you can be put to death if you go against what the king says. That's what sin truly is. Because God is king. And when we sin, even if it's little, we're committing treason against him. And the wages of sin is death. And God would be just if we were all punished for our sin. But, and I love but, God is not just perfectly just. He is also perfectly loving. And he made a way for sinners, people who commit treason, traitors, to be able to come back into favor with him. But this is only through Jesus. That's why he is the best example of what unconditional love is. He was perfectly obedient. He willingly went to the cross. He took the punishment we deserve so we can have a relationship with God. That is agape love. It's again bringing people who commit treason, traitors, rebels, and calling them sons and daughters. No catch, no strings attached, just unconditional love. That's the kind of love that makes you want to give your all to him. Everything you got in your life for him. Not out of duty, but out of gratitude for what that love means and has done for you. Now, we have the answer to what God, or what love is. It's Jesus. But what do we do with that? Two things. First, and this is my desire for everyone here, believe it. Have faith in that. Trust in Jesus and what he said he is and has done. And the second, love like Jesus. Jesus perfectly loved God and perfectly loved others. Now, we need to depend on God for his help in perfecting our love. Because, Let's be honest, we are anything but perfect at loving. Although as believers we should be continually getting better, we're still not perfect. But how do we love like Jesus? I was told that imitation is the greatest form of flattery that mediocrity can give greatness. Just as a reminder, in case you don't know, when we compare ourselves to Jesus, we are way below mediocre. But our goal is still to be like him. This reminds me of what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to the Jews or to the Greek or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be an imitator of me as I am of Christ. I'm sure we all have people in our life that imitated Christ so well for us that we want to imitate them. I know I did. I'm going to tell you about my grandfather. And he demonstrated what it is to love like Jesus, that unconditional love for me. And without his impact on my life, I don't know where I would be. His name was J.B., James Byron. However, if you were to talk to him, he would probably tell you something different just to joke around with you. His personal favorite was Jethro Bodine. Yes. He's the kindest, most selfless person I know. He was constantly helping others, constantly encouraging, constantly bringing joy. But most importantly, he was being Christ wherever he went. I have some fond memories of just walking through town with him and him interacting with everybody. He couldn't meet a stranger. In his words, they were just people he hasn't become friends with yet. He always had these goofy jokes and tricks that he would play on people. I'm pretty sure he was the best at dad jokes before they were cool, even if they are not cool. But just love spending time with him. And we would go in town, and pretty much anybody who'd meet me, hello, Carol Ray. How's your wife, Patsy, doing? How are your boys, Billy and Bobby? And it was that for everybody. He made people feel known and loved. And it was just an amazing thing to see. But what was really important and really impressed me was he didn't just make them feel loved by him. To everyone he meet, he would share that God loved them too. He would give them the gospel. When I got to spend the night at Papaw's house, I would get up early, and he didn't know this, and I'd sneak by his door and listen to him pray. He had this list that people who had asked him to pray and gave him some requests, not only would he pray for them in that moment, but he would continue to pray every morning until they had told him that their prayer was answered. And he also kept the list of those answered prayers. And you could hear him thank God for those as well. And that just always impressed me that he cared so much about people that for years he would pray for them. Just kind of blows my mind how much he loves God and loves others. Now my papaw, he was a pastor in a small church. And he loved that community so much. I was told something that I didn't know at his funeral. And it kind of sums up his whole life. And this came from someone who didn't even go to his church. And they said, "We always felt bad for the congregation at the Nazarene Church." And that's the church where my grandfather pastored at. "Because every other church in town had two pastors. They had their own and JB. But the Nazarene church, they only had JB. That speaks volumes that everyone in the community thought of him as their pastor. That's an example of living for Christ and loving unconditionally. And I want to do those things that my papa did so well. I want to pray like he did, constantly with the Lord, but not just for needs, also in celebration of what God has done. I want to bless others like he did. Anything he could to help or encourage, he would try to do those things. And finally, I want to be able to share the gospel like he did. He seemed to tell everybody that he met about Jesus and talk to them about how God loved them. And I asked him one day, why did you do those three things? And he told me, when I was reading the Bible, I noticed Jesus does those three things quite often. He prays constantly. He is a blessing to the people around him. And he constantly shares and points others to God. And if God is going to do that, if Jesus is going to do that, I need to imitate him. And he wanted to do this not because of duty, but because of that unconditional agape love that God had for him. And he wanted to share that with others. And so I want to challenge you to do the same. Imitate Christ by doing those three things. Pray for someone. Bless someone else with help or encouragement. And share what Jesus has done for you and ultimately the gospel and what Jesus can do for them. Remember the question, what is love? We answered it as Jesus. And 1 John 4:7-12 reminds us of the unconditional love of God. And we should desire to imitate that love, again, not as a task, not as a duty, but out of gratitude and thankfulness for what God has done for us, for that unconditional love. Let's do that by praying, blessing, and sharing as we demonstrate the love of God to others. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you for your unconditional love. The fact that even in my sin, there was nothing I could do to make you love me less. And even now, there is nothing I can do to make you love me any more than you already do. And that's because of who you are. It's not something I earned or I deserve, but just because you love us and that's who you are. Lord, let us be thankful for that. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here who doesn't know that unconditional love, that they can get a little glimpse, a little taste of that today and choose to follow you. And Lord, for those of us who do know and understand and have that grasp, the small taste of your unconditional love, let us have such excitement for it that we can't help but share it with others. Because Lord, you are worthy of that. Lord, thank you for what you've done. Lord, we need your help to do better. But most importantly, God, we love you and you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.